like to ask at this time to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Psalms, chapter number 33. I want to read a verse of Scripture to you here. I'm going to read about three verses, not just here. This is about three different references. This will be my first reference. Psalm 33, verse number 12. The Bible says these words in Psalm 33, the 12th verse. It says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." But the first part of that verse, Psalm 33, the 12th verse, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Before I read the third and final verse, turn with me over to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 22, if you would, and look at verse number 28. Proverbs 22, verse number 28. The Bible says these words in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 28. "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." When our founding fathers came to establish this country, this great country, many of those principles by which and for which they came here to establish and to live by and to promote, we find our modern day government seem like turning its back on all of those landmarks. But God warns us in Proverbs 22 and verse 28 to not remove those boundaries, to not remove those landmarks that our Father set to establish for us. So that leads me to my final verse of Scripture for the thought I want to give you. That's found in the book of Psalms once again. The book of Psalms in the 9th chapter and the 17th verse. The book of Psalms chapter 9 and verse number 17. In the 9th chapter of Psalms, in the 17th verse of that 9th chapter, the Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." My fear concerning this nation as a whole is that it has forgotten God. That it doesn't even truly identify who God is anymore. It's become a multi-God society. And I have great confidence that when our founders came here with the motto, with the slogan, and with the belief, "In God we trust," that was not Allah or Buddha or Muhammad. But that was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what leads me to believe that is they came here with a 1611 King James Bible looking for a place where they could worship God and teach and preach that word freely without the government stifling them out and not allowing them to do so. So I want to pray over these verses. If anybody's going to point us back to the ancient landmark, if anybody is going to remind our children of an ancient landmark that should not be removed, if anybody is going to uphold a standard for the generation that's coming, that responsibility has been placed and laid on the man of God and the house of God and the Word of God. And so, having said that, let's pray over these Scriptures. Father, I thank You for Your Word, and I thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for America. We thank You for our soldiers. Father, we thank You for our freedom. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for our country. We know, Father, without a doubt, that we live in the greatest country in the world. We know, God, that this country has been used time and time again to send the gospel around the world. And Father, we pray that You'd bless the reading of Your Word. We pray that You would help us to make an impact today upon our children, upon the young people. Father, help us to remind each other of Your Word and of Your promises. And help us, God, to stay with the compass and the landmark and the boundary that You set before us. And we'll be careful to thank You for it. In Christ's name, amen. I want to preach this morning on some things America has forgotten. And there's really three or four things that the Lord laid on my heart to really deal with in the service. And I'll just start and see how the Lord works in the time that we have allotted here. But I want to say, number one, I really believe this morning that America has forgotten that there is one God.
Amen.
One God. The Bible says these words in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I want to say this morning that it's not sincerity that gets you to heaven. Being born again will take you to heaven. In other words, salvation is not based on sincerity. And salvation is not built around religion. But salvation is built around a relationship with the true and the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many roads do not lead to heaven. There is one road, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said in John 10, the 9th verse, He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Paul was writing to those Thessalonian believers in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and this is what he said to them concerning their relationship with God. He said in 1 Thessalonians 1 in the 9th verse, For they themselves show of us what manner of entering you and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I want to tell you, among the idols that America is attempting to worship, there is a living and a true God. And that living God and that true God is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not Allah. It is not Buddha. It is not Muhammad. It is not Joseph Smith. It is not Charles Taze Russell. It is not Jim Veach. It is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I cannot believe at the number of temples that are being built in this country and all these buildings that are being built to false gods. That is not what our country is about today. That's not what our country was founded on this morning. In Exodus chapter number 20, you say, Brother Jim, they're sincere. They're sincerely lost. And they need the Lord. And they need the gospel. And that we may be a melting pot society, but the problem is we've allowed a melting pot religion. We've allowed an ecumenical religion. We can't pray in Jesus' name anymore. And we can't witness and testify in Jesus' name anymore. We've got to use the word God with a little G and make sure it's generic and make sure it fits everybody's religion and everybody's gospel and make sure it fits under every single roof that calls itself a church. And that's why our country is in trouble. That's why we've turned our back on God. There's not but one God. There's one true and one living God. And it's the God of the King James Bible.
Amen.
In Exodus 20, in verse number 3, he said, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. In the book of back in the book of Psalms, Bible said these words in the book of Psalms, chapter number 86, in verse number 10, a great verse of scripture. Psalms 86 and verse 10 says, David said, "For thou art great and doest wondrous things." But I like what he said, Psalm 86:10, "Thou art God alone." Amen. Thou art God alone. Thank God this morning in this church by the American flag is a Christian flag. Somebody has got to tell our children, someone has got to tell our grandchildren, you can rest assured the news media is not going to tell them the truth concerning who God is. And the government school system is not going to tell them the truth concerning who God is. And do you know now, even the chaplain in our military, they're not allowed to pray in Jesus' name and to preach in Jesus' name and to teach salvation in Jesus' name. And we live in a country that is catering to these Muslims and catering to these false religions. And brother, it's bringing great damage to America and bringing great damage to our country. And I think as an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, patriotic, red-blooded American that appreciates our soldiers and our troops and our country, we need to get back to knowing what we stand for and what we stand on and what we believe in. And since CNN's not going to tell it, and the average outlet's not going to tell it, and the average preacher's not even going to tell it, somebody better read the Bible and tell God's people and tell the children and tell the world and tell whoever will listen that there's one true and one living God, and He's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 44, Isaiah 44 and verse number 8, Bible said, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." He said, there's not a God beside me. I don't know a God beside me. In Isaiah 45 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "I am the Lord and there is none else." Won't that preach for a while? I am the Lord and there is none else. Some people are worshiping Allah and Buddha. Some worship Muhammad. And some people just worship themselves and humanism. And we're living in the day like Paul when he come to Mars Hill and he said, "You've built an altar to the unknown God. I'm going to declare Him unto you. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price on Calvary. He shed His blood for the sins of the world. He tasted death for every man. He's the Savior. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He came as the Lamb of God. He's coming back as reigning King. It's Him that made salvation possible."
Amen.
Isaiah 45 in the 5th verse, "I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me." He said in Isaiah 45 and verse number 5, "There is no God beside me." There is no God beside me. I tell you, people don't mind. I find that the media and I find that the nation and I find that the secular community, they don't mind you saying the word God.
Nope.
They don't mind you. They don't mind you using the word God. They don't mind you referring to a higher power. And they don't mind. The devil doesn't mind religion. What the devil hates is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil don't mind a person being churchy. What the devil doesn't like is when a person becomes converted and blood washed and born again and saved by the grace of God. It was religious people that hung Jesus on the cross. It was religion. It was religion that despised Jesus. It was religion that despised the early church. And it's religion in this country that will still despise the true and the living God and the true gospel.
Amen.
Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. I want to tell every adult, I want to tell every young person, I want to tell every child, I want to tell every middle-aged person in this building, there is a false gospel going around this nation, and that false gospel says, as long as you're sincere and as long as you try hard, you'll go to heaven. Doesn't matter what road you take. Doesn't matter what avenue you go down. Doesn't matter what higher power you trust in. But I got news for us today. There's just one problem with that. It is not biblical. It is not found in the Word of God. This Bible said in Ephesians 2, the 8th verse, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ being God. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is through faith. Salvation is not based on works. It's not based on an idol. It's not based on a false god. It's based on a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4 and 12, the Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul talked about that name that was given to the Lord Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter number 2. He said, Philippians chapter 2, the 9th verse, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. His name is above Allah. His name is above Buddha. His name is above every name. The Bible said that at the name of Jesus, and by the way, Jesus was more than a prophet. Jesus was more than a good teacher. Jesus was more than a religious leader. He is God. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You tell the average Mormon, you tell that Jehovah Witness that Jesus is God, and they'll stomp off your porch and probably take their literature with them. They don't believe He's God. They don't believe in a, they don't believe hell is a real place. I want to tell you something. This country's been infiltrated by a false gospel. It's been infiltrated by false gods. And hey, they're taking over the news media. They're taking over the average religious building. They're the fastest growing religion in this country. And that's a shame and a disgrace. Somebody better declare the Word of God to this generation.
Amen. That's right.
Somebody don't. If somebody don't, our children aren't going to know who to pray to.
Right. That's right.
Amen. Right.
They're not going to know who to pray to. They're not going to know who to trust. They're not going to know who to go worship.
Right.
Thank God for the true and the living God. I'll tell you who He is. He described Himself in the book of Revelation, in the 19th, Revelation chapter 19, in the 16th verse. The Bible said Revelation 19 and verse 16, and He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Bible said Matthew 28 verse number 18, and Jesus came, one of my favorite verses, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus has all power. Jesus is God. Our God is in heaven. Hey, the Bible said, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator, one go-between, one access, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Hey, the Pope is not God. It doesn't matter who is Pope. Jesus is King. Glory to God. Hey, the Pope may die and the Pope may have to retire and the Pope may catch Alzheimer's and the Pope may become feeble. But my God on the throne is everlasting. He's from the beginning and He's without an end. And He's God. And by the way, He's not wearing a dress preaching against getting married. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. That fella comes walking in wearing a long dress, son, you can't get married. You better watch out for that cat. He's weird, buddy. Something wrong with him. America's forgotten that there's one God. America's forgotten that there's one guideline for marriage. There's one guideline for marriage. What guideline is that? Bible said in the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus referred back to Genesis and He referred back to the beginning. Jesus said, Matthew 19 verse 4, and He answered and said unto them, have ye not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? It's what the Bible said. He also said in the book of Mark, chapter number 10, and in verse number 6, the Bible said, Mark 10, verse number 6, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. I'm trying to tell you that God created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. Somebody say amen right there. I don't care what the government votes on. I don't care what the government legalizes. I certainly don't care what San Francisco, California pushes. Amen. Hey, it's not the West Coast. It's the Left Coast. You better believe that right now. I don't care what the news media pushes and what the public school has to say. This Bible said marriage is between male and female. Not male and male and female and female. Somebody told me the other day, Brother Ted. Somebody told me, they said, Brother Jim, you better watch them girls. It used to be just church full of girls. Now there's some boys coming in. You better watch out. I'm just glad they're normal. We're going to have guidelines and we're going to do it right, praise God. But I am glad normal has kicked in. Praise God. Because what this world is pushing, what Hollywood is pushing, what the news media wants to push is not normal.
It's perverted. What boys scouts are pushing? Unnatural.
I'm not sure what they're scouting now.
They're scouting boys.
Are they boys scouting or scouting boys? You help me right there. Somebody write that down so I can remember that and preach it again. The Episcopalians may be voting on sodomites in the pulpit, but God figured that out a long time ago. Putting them in pulpits, putting them in the Boy Scouts, putting them in the military, trying to push them on everybody.
Yeah, God pushed them all right.
They're sodomites. They're sodomites. And it's not normal. It's not natural.
Right on.
Thank God it's not Adam and Steve. Hallelujah. I feel like God has let me in on something scriptural and deep. I feel like I know why when God took from that one man and made him a helpmeet and called her a woman. I think I know why He did. I think it's because when Adam saw her, he said, "Whoa, man, I like how that looks." And God said, "I'm with you, Adam. We'll call that gal a woman." Hallelujah. Praise God. didn't take her out of his foot so he could walk on her and stomp on her and treat her like dirt. Took her out of his side so they could walk together and labor together and serve God together and be a team together for the glory of God.
Amen.
Now I tell you what the devil hates, a man and woman on the same page, loving Jesus, believing the Word of God, and turning their family in the house of God, this world, and Satan himself hates that, brother. Mom and daddy get fired up, start bringing them kids to Sunday school. They're telling what God might do in that family. That's a force for God. And it makes the devil and his devils pretty nervous. Hallelujah. Bible says in Romans 1, the 26th verse, Bible said these words, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." God said it's a vile affection. "For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly." Bible said it's unnatural. Bible said it's unseemly. Bible said it's unholy. Bible said it's unclean. Bible says it's ungodly. Verse number 27, "Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error." Bible said it was an error against God. Bible said it's unlawful. It breaks the law of God, which was me. Verse number 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Bible said it's not convenient. Bible said it's not natural. Bible said it's unseemly. Bible said they departed from the natural use and they turned to that which was against nature. And God said it's a sin that's worthy of death.
Yes, sir.
In Romans 1, verse 32, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death." Say, "Brother Jimmy, you people know I'm preaching the Bible." I'm telling you what it says. I know you're not supposed to do that anymore, but we're going to do it this morning. 2 Peter 2 and verse number 6. Bible said these words. 2 Peter 2:6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered the just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." God said they're filthy. God said they're wicked. God said it vexed Lot. God said He condemned them. God said He turned them into ashes. God said their pile of ashes are set forth for an example to the USA and to Sweden and to France and to San Francisco and to everybody else that after should live ungodly. There's a pile of ashes that will tell us what God's position on that unnatural sin. Bible says 2 Peter 2 verse 8, "For that righteous man dwelling among them in sin and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Their unlawful deeds. They weren't born that way. They made a choice to turn against God. They made a matter of fact, I say, "Brother Jim, how do you know they weren't born that way?" I know it because the Bible says it is not natural. Why would God birth you into the world unnatural and put you in a position to have a reprobate mind with no choice toward God? That don't even make horse sense.
That's right. Yeah.
That don't even make good horse sense, friend.
There you go.
But the Bible said, "Every way a man is clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." When they had no king in days of old, in the Old Testament, what did the Bible say they were doing, Brother Johns? that which was right in their own eyes. They had no guidance. They had no moral compass. And that's what's happening to our churches. There's no leadership in the house of God. And because there's no leadership in the house of God, there's no leadership in the home. Because of the leadership in the house, no leadership in the home, our country, our kids, our young people have gone against God. No leadership, no guidance, and they can't even find a man of God that'll preach the word anymore. It's not popular. You're not supposed to do it. John the Baptist didn't die of lung cancer, Brother Johns. He preached his head off his shoulders. You know the reason why he did? He was preaching against sexual sins and naming them. And that's what the world despises. Bible said marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. When's the last time you heard it said it's wicked as hell itself to be shacked up? They're sleeping together. Be a blessing if they go to sleep. They're living together. You got that right. They're not living together. They're shacking up. It's a sin against God. It's wicked. It ought to be shamed. You know why it's not? We quit preaching about it. Preachers are shacking up. Their kids are shacking up. Preachers are sleeping around. They got three or four there sleeping with on the side. It's not right, brother. We've lost the touch of God because of that. Well, I was noticing in 2 Peter 2:6, it was condemned by God, made an example by God, called ungodly. 2 Peter 2:7, it was called filthy, called wicked. 2 Peter 2:8, it was called unlawful. God called it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different things just in three verses that are all in the guideline of being wicked. Lastly, and I'm done. I won't take but a second to give you this. In the book of Proverbs, in the sixth chapter, Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible says, verse number 16, says there's these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto Him. Bible said, Proverbs 6 and 17, this was the third thing in that list that God said He hated. God said, I hate hands that shed innocent blood. Bible said in Romans 12, 19, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Bible said, Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. When the first murder took place in Genesis chapter 4, when God came to Adam in Genesis 4 verses 8 through 10, know what God said to Adam? He said, the voice of thy brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. I thought to myself, how many unborn children have been slaughtered? How many unborn children have been murdered in the name of a doctor, in the name of a medical procedure? How many children have been slaughtered and murdered out of convenience, out of so-called birth control? I will tell you, that blood is crying out to God from the ground, and God will take vengeance on any people, on any nation that murders the unborn out of its own lust. Point three, America's forgotten that these guilty doctors and politicians are going to pay for what they've done in this country. Politicians. follow. You can't really find one that will stand on his own two feet and come out and say that he's pro-life without apology.
That's right. Hard to find.
It's getting hard to find a Republican. God help us.
Yeah.
It's becoming difficult to find a Republican that will come out strong, say I'm pro-life, and when he does, he doesn't get voted in anymore, does he? He's an extremist, isn't he?
Right.
I want to tell you something, young children. We have the opportunity to live in the greatest country on planet Earth.
Yeah.
We have been given the gift of freedom. We have been given the gift of a God-fearing society.
Right.
Our forefathers, we're in a Baptist church this morning. We're in a Bible-believing church this morning.
Right.
Because our forefathers came before us with landmarks of decency, of morals, of Bible standards and convictions. And Brother Jim Bob laid down a foundation of a decent, honest, God-fearing, moral society that honored God, that bowed their head for prayer over the food, that worshiped on the Lord's Day, and Brother Tim, that believed the King James Bible not to be something some man wrote, but to be the Word of God. You may sit under a teacher that tries to teach you otherwise. You may tune in on the radio, on the television, on the internet. You may hear a voice that'll tell you otherwise. You may hear a politician, a news broadcast that'll tell you otherwise. But I want to say, by God's grace, by God's mercy, we can dare to be different and stay with the Word of God.
Amen.
And just because the masses have turned against the foundation of our nation, you and I don't have to join that crowd. Because serving God has we've always been the minority.
Amen.
So how do you know that? Jesus said in Matthew 7, He said, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it."
Right.
The greatest life that was ever given so that we could have a real life for God was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Gave it all on Calvary so that we could have an understanding of God and His Word. Invitation. I would like to ask my grandmother to come play something on the piano. Brother Tim, would you come and get a song this morning for an invitation song? And here's the way that I want to give the invitation this morning. Maybe you'd like on this Memorial Day Sunday, maybe you'd like to come down to the altar with me and join me to pray for our nation, to pray for my children and yours, to pray for your grandchildren. They're facing pressure like they've never faced.
Amen.
They're facing the outside influence that's anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Jesus, anti-Holy Ghost, anti-Scripture.
Yes.
And we need prayer. Brother Ali, we need to recover the old path where the good way is. We need to have the boldness. The Bible said the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. We've got to have the boldness and the ability and the conviction to have that instilled into our children to serve God, to not turn their back on God, to not cave in to the influences of the world, the flesh, the devil in these last days. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what a great day this would be to come and be born again. If you're here this morning and you're struggling, what an opportunity to come this morning and draw close to God. We ought to pray for our kids, pray for our family, pray for our nation, and pray that our church doesn't get sucked up in this big mass confusion of religion in these last days, but that we stay with Brother Jim Bob, the Word of God, until Jesus comes. You obey the Lord this morning.
Yes. Thou art the Lord.
sometime I can get away with that. Oh, yeah.
You need to say more of that.
I had to get me a scarf to give me some sugar this morning.
Have mercy.
I sure do love you this morning.
Love you too.
Love you too.
You know what encourages my heart this morning? I'm glad we're not alone in believing this book.
Yeah. Right.
There was a time, preach that message I preached this morning. Everybody would be like, why are you preaching that? We all know that. When I first got saved, that's common knowledge. Why even mention that? Everybody knows that. But you know what? A lot's happened in a few years.
Right on.
So much has happened in these few years. And if someone doesn't teach these children godly principles and standards, they're not going to have an idea. And you know what, Mom? So many don't have an idea because nobody has taught them.
Right.
Pass out a track.
Yeah.
Go back there and get you some of those chick tracks. Pass out a track. When you come across a person that's living in the sin of homosexuality, just think to yourself, if it wasn't for the grace of God and somebody teaching me the truth, I could, you know, that could have been me.
Yeah.
Hand them a track. Invite them to church. Say, Brother Jim, what would you do if I brought somebody to church like that? I'd love them. I'd shake their hand. I'd welcome them into the house of God. And I'd preach Jesus' blood to them and salvation and pray they'd get born again and get saved.
Wow. Yeah.
If somebody don't give them an answer from God, who's going to?
Nobody will.
I want to be balanced. I want to hate sin, but not hate people.
Right.
I want to be balanced in it.
Yes.
Yes, Pam.
In fact, this very week, I went to give kids something to eat, and I always try to find a track that fits the person when I go through the drive-thru and leave a little bit of the Lord with them.
Yes, ma'am.
I pulled up and
a little good news for the journey.
Heart-shaped diamond earrings and, you know, tell when they talk a certain way. And I struggled with whether to give him that homosexuality